Hello, Pastor Sam here. Welcome to Our City Church's YouTube channel. We're so glad to have you. If you're looking for encouraging messages, you're in the right place. Please enjoy today's message and make sure to like and subscribe and comment and share it with a friend so it can encourage them too. Now, enjoy the message for today.
Thank you all for coming out this morning. Amen. We're going to take communion. Just kidding. But I do love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because, you know, you get to eat, you get food, you get family. If you got a big enough TV, you get to watch a lot of football. You don't have to spend any money. You don't have to buy any presents for this one. This one is just freebie. You can go eat and have fun and lay on the couch. It's a day of no guilt, but I didn't say it's not a day of no heartburn. Come on, gonna get an amen on that one. Somebody got to get the Rolaids ready when you go to Thanksgiving. This morning, I just want to talk to us about Thanksgiving and being thankful. Thanksgiving is a day, it's a distinctive holiday. It has nothing to do with a birthday or an honor or a person or persons. It's another day. It's not just another day to get off work. Can I get an amen on that one too? Oh, y'all got to work on Thanksgiving. I feel sorry for you. But it's simply a day to give thanks. And how did Thanksgiving start? Well, in 1789, George Washington said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge, listen, the providence of the Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly pray His protection and favor." That's how Thanksgiving started. My, how our culture has changed. We've seen a shift in the last several years to a more me-centered society, right? The culture of honor is just not taught in the world we live in today. And I'll prove it to you. I was raised perfect, and the Lord knows I wasn't. But I was raised to say, yes, ma'am. No, sir. I was raised to say, please. I was raised to say, thank you. I was raised to speak when spoken to. Our four-year-old grandson, we love our grandbabies. We just had our fifth one. Fifth. Oakley. Sorry. And let me tell you, God is restoring my daughter and my son back to me in the name of Jesus. We sometimes forget about her, but and I do too. I forget about her too. But God is restoring that. Oh, thank you, babe. There is restoration coming to your families. I'm speaking that. I'm prophesying that over you right now. What you thought was dead in someone, what you thought was no longer available to you, God is about to turn that around for your good. I'm speaking to me this morning too, and I'm speaking to you. God is going to do something so big that you're going to look back a month from now or two. No, let's not even wait a month. You're going to start getting the phone calls from somebody that you didn't think what you thought was not done with you. Whew. Oh, I'm feeling this morning, y'all. God's doing something big right now. Don't diminish it. Whew. But we took Kay to the zoo. He walked up to the counter. They were talking. He looked at the counter lady to give the tickets to get on the train, which we had to wait an hour to get on. Praise Jesus. And he said, "How are you?" He stood there. She gave us the tickets. And you know what he did? He said, "Thank you. Have a nice day." This is a four-year-old. But he's been taught manners. He's been taught how to speak to someone when spoken to. We need to start our kids off young. The Bible says train them up in the ways that they'll go. And when they're older, they won't depart from it. Yeah, they may run, but they can't hide. But you instill, I'm being honest with you, I'm telling you this morning, you instill in your children. I wish I had instilled more of the goodness of God in my children, but I have instilled some goodness of God, and I'm praying that God is going to pull that out and make it greater measure. But you have young kids right now, I know they're getting on your nerves. This ain't even in my notes, y'all. But Remember, you are the mentor. You're the one teaching them. They're the one watching every move that you make. And they're now seeing Mike Kane and Delaney now praying prayers at bedtime, listening to preaching. I know you all get tired hearing this, but you don't know what a miracle that is. And now it's rubbing off. It's rubbing off on their kids now. So what you do as a family unit matters. Whew. Our kids are young. They need parents to do what they're supposed to do. Cell phones are not a necessity. I see a 5 or 6, 7, 8-year-old, 9-year-old with an iPhone. No. Let's say it had a big capital N-O. Kids, I want you to know something, especially you young high school. Kids, food does not magically appear in the refrigerator. Come on, how many of y'all kids think, well, my gosh, every Friday there's some new food put in here. Must be a magic trick. It does not. Mommy and daddy work very hard to fill that magic refrigerator up. Come on, I see some parents nudging their kids now. The offering bucket will be in the back for afterwards. You can thank me. Electricity is not free. Water is not free. When we lived in Mount Washington, we had like 47 people living with us. I'm kidding, but we had about 10. My water bill was like $180. I finally said, listen, y'all ain't paying it. I'm going to stack the dishes in the dishwasher because I want to get the multiple amount of dishes in the dishwasher. I don't even let her stack them anymore. And you get 5 minutes to take a shower. Sounds like that commercial like you get from Verbo, whatever. Anyway. But they didn't know the cost of the water bill. Community courtesy is about gone open. How many of you still open the door for someone when they go in? I saw a young man. Ooh, help me, Jesus. I wanted to punch him. I saw a young man. There was an older lady come walking around, and he went right in. He darted right in front of her and let the door shut back. I wanted to go and just smack a hole in him. That's what I wanted to do. Common courtesy is almost out the door right now. I'm telling some funny stories there, but this is true. I'm driving down the road, and you know, a stop sign, and you see 3 or 4 young people. They were probably teenagers, 13, 14, 15 years old. And you know, when you're going, and I'm trying to help you out here a little bit. Come on. When you're walking in front of them and people are letting you go, make haste. I'm always at Kroger, like if I'm doing this and somebody lets me go, I'm like, okay, yeah, appreciate that. 2 of them made haste. The third one, I'm not kidding with you. He did this. I'm telling you what, it's all I could do to not pull that car over. Never mind. But we get cut off in traffic, and instead of waving, we flip with the fish sticker on the back of our car. So why do you think, let me ask you a question. Why do you think Chick-fil-A is so successful? Because they've created a culture of honor and appreciation. That's why when you go almost any time of day, you go at Chick-fil-A and they're around the building. Yeah. Above all, though, we fail to thank God for his blessings. Look at Romans 1:21. Because, you don't have this one, Eric, sorry. I don't think, or do we? Yes, there's one in here you don't have, because I had to add it. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Ingratitude is a sin. Yes, ingratitude is really a word, Pastor Vonda. She said, is it even a word? I was like, yes, it is. But this ingratitude means a discreditable lack of gratitude. The word more biblically used in the context means a failure to acknowledge God and thank him for his blessings. Is being ungrateful a sin? Here's the one you don't have. Yes, it is, because it's the same one. It must be so good. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas, a different version, what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. God was so good, honestly, that he gave me that verse again in a different version and told me to put it there. It's the same, ingratitude is the same as lying and stealing and immorality or any other sin that's committed in the Bible. Philippians 2:14 says this. Help us, Lord, with this one. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Do all things without complaining, grumbling, disputing, arguing. So, Pastor, what are you saying? All things? That's what the Bible says. We cannot allow a spirit of ingratitude to harden our hearts and make us cold towards God and other people. Why should we be thankful? Because we're blessed and we don't even realize it. 185 billion people, 1.85 billion people, or 36% of the population live in extreme poverty. 61% of the world live in poverty. They make less than $1.25 a day. Only 2% of the world's poor live in the U.S. They're poor and our poor are two different poors. 38% of persons who the Census Bureau identifies as poor own their own homes. 62% of the poor own a car. 14% own two cars. Nearly half of all the poor households have air conditioning, and 43% of them have a microwave. We live in a blessed, blessed country. We're truly blessed. We have food, and we have water. We have electricity. We have housing. And Thanksgiving gets lost in our more culture. You live with people, you be around people who never have enough and they want to accumulate. And as they're trying to accumulate, they're pushing their families to the side and they're trying to go up the ladder, but then God is like saying, no, you need to stay right here. More mentality. And when they get more, they're not happy with more. I thought years ago, man, if I could ever, I came out of a kind of a poor-ish family when I was growing up, and I thought, man, if I can only get here, I'd be happy. I got there. Wasn't happy. If I can only get here, I'd be happy. Got there. If I can only get here and also have a company truck, I'd be happy. I got there. Still wasn't happy. It's because I forgot what I would be thankful for. I'd lost my joy. I'd lost my content. I'd lost my happiness. Your happiness is not tied up in what you have. It's what you have. I've seen people, I'm talking ahead of myself. I've seen people who didn't have a whole lot, had more joy in their peace and smiled. And I've seen some people who were multimillionaires, some of the most miserable people you'll ever want to meet in your life. Philippians 4:12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Sometimes we have to just learn to thank God for what we do have, and the list is way longer than we actually give credit to. My name is Rich, but I am not rich. But I am rich in another sense now that I am rich towards things that matter. Because sometimes, you know, you can look at your bank account and you can look at your bank account all the time. You'll find out that's not going to make you happy. But until you start letting God fill you up with that, the joy and the peace and the happiness that only He can give, when you start getting that part of it fixed in your life, and listen, I still have to work on that one myself. That's when you start seeing the contentment and peace and joy come. We're being peaceful in all circumstances, right, brother? When we total our car, when we're in the hospital, sometimes we got to see things for the other end of the spectrum, right? I got to hang out with my brother, but he totaled his car the other day. Then he made me eat too much at the lunch at the Chinese buffet. Whew, Jesus, I felt bad the rest of the day. No, I'm kidding, it was good. But a spirit of thankfulness makes all the difference in what we're going to give. God wants us also, I'm going to talk a little bit about our material things and monetary blessings. He wants us to be a blessing, not just to accumulate things. When Jesus came, he preached an upside down kingdom. He said the first is going to be the last. So when you're trying to climb up the ladder, remember, sometimes somebody at the top, somebody at the bottom is going to be first. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given. We don't live in a society that says give and it shall be given. I got to hold on to it. And also, so you reap what you sow, correct? I think also we have to figure out that we have to thank God for the people in our life. Thanksgiving is an emotional time. People travel thousands of miles to be with people they see once a year. And they discover that's too often. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. The holidays are coming. Family is crazy. Y'all got Cousin Eddie, don't you? Y'all got one of them. You might have been let down by your family, but they're still your family. You might be going through something with someone, and I'm not diminishing things in your life, what you've been going through, but I'm telling you, sometimes you have to know that you still have to love people through the pain. You have to love people through their problems. You have to love people through every aspect of their life, especially if you call them family. You need to thank God for the people who are in your life. God has a way of bringing people into your life, and it may not just be family members. Sometimes he's brought somebody in your life to fill a gap. Maybe it was a step-parent. Maybe it was an aunt. Maybe it was an uncle. Maybe it was a friend, or maybe it was a mentor. They really need to know how much you appreciate them and how much you impacted their life. They impacted your life. Life is short, y'all. I'm soon to be 39. I'm soon to be 60. And it does not seem like 60 years of my life has went that fast. Time is short. It's too short to hold on to grudges. It's too short to hold on to aughts against someone. And what I've said before, unforgiveness only hurts you. It only tears you up because most of the time people have already went, they've already moved past it and they've already forgotten about it. Are you thankful no matter what? Perhaps you lost your job recently. Maybe your health has declined and you lost a loved one. These circumstances are very, very difficult. But trials may have a way of revealing the things that really matter. They may be your wake-up call. Your perspective on your circumstance can shift when you take your eyes off the problem and you see the one who has the answer to the problem. Things change when we stop assessing, listen to this, why God? Why God? And we start asking and seeking, what God? What do you want? I love this quote by Jamie Winsett. God almost never answers our questions of why because we probably wouldn't understand. But he always answers our questions when we say, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? So let's change our perspective asking why all the time and start saying, God, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to take out of this situation I'm going? Let's look at a man. He had every right to be bitter, but he wasn't. Because the next footsteps going down the hallway might have been the guards taking him away to execution. He lived in a cold, dark, cramped cell. He was constant irritation from chains cutting around his wrists and legs. He was separated from friends. He was unjustly accused. Come on, somebody. We think we got a hard life. Listen to this. He was put in prison over and over. He was beaten many times. He was stoned one time, left for dead. He was shipwrecked three times. He spent a day and a night in the sea. How about that swimming? Was often hungry and thirsty and cold and naked and almost forgotten. If anyone had a right to complain, this man did. But instead of the complaints, Paul writes this in Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Think about it. Think about giving God thanks in all things, no matter the circumstances. But here's what he'd learned. He had learned the meaning of true thankfulness, even in the midst of adversity. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace. With thanksgiving comes peace. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He found the key to being thankful. You know why? Because he realized that he'd been given a gift. And that gift was Jesus. Thanksgiving for the Apostle Paul was not just a once a year thing. Not a one day every once in a while. It was a daily reality that changed his life and made him joyful in every situation. Thank you does matter. Thank you is beyond manners. We should have manners. Saying thank you is an acknowledgement that you've been given a gift. If you don't take anything else out of this sermon today, I want you to think, we've been given the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We're about to take communion up here. We've been given a gift. We need to get up every day and thank God for, because he looked down upon this situation. He looked down upon your life. He looked down upon this world. He saw it being dark and he saw it hopeless. We were separated. We had no hope. We were without any hope, and he came anyway. He sent his best gift, which was Jesus, the gift of salvation. John 3:16, for he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Come on, if there's nothing else to be thankful for, we can be thankful for that right there. He paid the price for all the whosoever's in the room. Lift your hand. You're a whosoever. He paid the price for you. He paid the price for me. And here's the best thing. This gift that he's given is free. All you got to do is unwrap it. All you have to do is accept it. When we come to Jesus, it's not the end. Somebody think it's the end of my life. It's the end of my fun. It's the end of this. No. It's the beginning of a whole new life. But you may say this, I'm still struggling, Pastor. Well, let me tell you, in ourselves, we don't have the strength that we need to live the way God wants us to live. Not in our own flesh. We have to make choices. But when we turn to him, we discover that it is God who works in us to act according to his good purpose. Sometimes we got to tell the Holy Spirit, thank you, ouch. I appreciate you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, ouch. Sometimes our walking with the Holy Spirit is a bunch of ouches right during the day. We're like, ah, I shouldn't have thought that way. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have been there. But thank God. Thank God that he's there every day with you to tell you which way to go and which way to move. And thank God that we are starting, as you get closer and closer in relationship to him, you start moving in the direction he moves in. You start going in the places that he wants you to go to. It becomes more second nature. Again, am I telling you it's easy? Ugh. Some days are harder than others. But the more that you move in the vein of where the Holy Ghost is taking you to, that's when you start seeing things change in your life, your language, your thoughts, the places you go, the people that you're around. And you say, Pastor, I'm still feeling alone sometimes. Sometimes you got to remember Jesus' promises to the disciples. He says, surely, surely, surely. He wasn't talking to Shirley. He was talking to them. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You got to know he's with you no matter what you're going through. But I don't feel blessed, Pastor. It seems like everybody else is blessed. Well, blessing could be a perspective too. It doesn't matter how much you have or how little you have on earth. You can be rich in possessions and poor in thankfulness and still end up poor at the end. But you can be poor in possessions and rich in thankfulness and end up rich. Whew. Thank you that my wife bought me this shirt. It's making me sweat, but it's awesome. If y'all would, stand with me, please. We'll be taking communion here just a few minutes. But as we enter this season that we're in, we call this the holiday season. I hate saying happy holidays. It's Merry Christmas. That's a whole another sermon. But we do the celebration for us to celebrate Jesus coming to this earth. And we're being grateful. We want to acknowledge God and be thankful for his gift that he gave us, that free gift of salvation, that if we'll just accept it, if we'll take it, he'll make our lives changed. Maybe you've never received that free gift today. Maybe it's something that you've talked about, you've thought about, and maybe this morning you feel, as the morning was talking about gratitude and God was in the room this morning. And maybe this morning is your time to take a step out and come to this altar and just allow the Holy Spirit to do something different in you. It could start with, I'm thankful that you died on the cross for me, Jesus. I'm thankful that you've forgiven me of my sins if I ask you. I'm thankful that if I ask you to come into my heart, you will change my heart. You will make me a new creation. Thank you, Jesus, for walking with me and talking with me. These altars are going to be open for anyone who needs a prayer for salvation. Maybe this morning, I felt this earlier, maybe you've just been pouting a little bit. I'm just going to give you the country version of it. Maybe you've been feeling sorry for yourself a little bit. Maybe you've not been as grateful to God as you really should be. And as we've talked and as we've sang, God has highlighted this to you, that to you. And maybe you just need to come down here and just lift your hands and say, God, thank you. Come on. He inhabits the praise of his people. He inhabits the praise. So as we get ready to sing this song, let's give him the worship he deserves.
If you made it this far, we just want to tell you that we are so blessed that you took the time out of your day to spend it with us. We love you so much. And if you want more resources, please go to rcitychurch.online. We love you so much. Have a good one.